Welcome to UN Gender Focus. I'm Jocelyn Sambira at the United Nations in New York. Coming up in this week's program, while female genital cutting needs grassroots approach, and a young girl talks about her fear of dying during a recent outbreak of fighting in South Sudan. But first, an initiative which is aiming to connect 10,000 Kenyan women involved in running businesses to global markets will empower women across the world, according to one of the entrepreneurs who has joined the network. The She Trades Network, which is backed by the UN's International Trade Center, provides buyers across the globe a platform to connect with women-owned enterprises. Kabuki Mungai Anyumba is the director of Scrumptious Eats, which distributes food and beverages produced in Kenya. Asunta Masoi, who is in the Kenyan capital, Nairobi, began by asking her about her business.
Our lemons are organic because so many people that when we go to their farms, they just have them growing 3 or 4 or 5 trees that they just use for their family consumption. Now somebody's able to buy them, make a fantastic product out of them. They can count on us next year. They can count on us in 6 months. Their cousins coming, other relatives coming, they now start to add a few more trees because we need them. So it's in small ways, but that's the way we're going to change this part of the world. That's the way we're going to change this continent.
And how does She Trades Kenya support you, helping you to improve your business?
Yeah, I think it's fantastic that She Trade, we are launching She Trade today in Kenya, and that so many of us women are going to start to work together. It's a time for the women to transform this world, to bring awareness to what we do. I'd love to collaborate with women in Colombia, in Brazil, in Australia, in other parts of Africa. And I think there's a leadership of women that has been ignored for a long time. This is our platform that we can do this together. We can empower each other and bring each other up, raise each other up as women. And they say, and it's probably been repeated very many times, that when you lift a woman, you lift a continent. And I really think that is true in Kenya. I think about my aunties, my grandparents. The women are the ones that really held on to raising the family, supporting, building things up, working with little to make more.
I can see we have dresses here.
Yes.
For how long does it stay, for example, if someone buys it? Or even the soups that you mentioned?
Yeah.
Do they have to go and cook or they just warm it? How does it work?
Okay, so for our juices, the juices are freshly made. There is no preservatives. There's no chemical added. They are fresh. They are gluten-free, dairy, cholesterol, and salt-free. They're very healthy in terms of like giving us vitamins. There's a list of things there that our juices are able to do, as well as our soups. There's a lot of people that are like, whoa, you know, I started drinking those soups and I'm starting to lose weight because they have it in the evening. It's filling. It's healthy. We do things like pumpkin soup, chunky tomato soup, spinach and lentil soup, and just having like a little piece of like maybe a carbohydrate in the evening, just that weight loss. So they're able to just take it. It's ready to go and they just warm it up. It has to stay in the fridge though. And then they can warm it up and then have it in the fridge. It lasts for 5 days. For the juice as well, we can deliver directly to their homes or to their offices for their birthdays, for their chama meetings, for their all kinds of events, for the schools, we're able to deliver. And all they have to do is just consume.
The eradication of female genital cutting requires a grassroots approach, according to a rights activist who attended a recent UN meeting on the issue. The practice affects 200 million women and girls and is considered a social norm in many parts of the world, but the UN has condemned it as a human rights violation. FGC, as it is known, is the altering of female genitalia for non-medical reasons. Suzanne Bowles sat on a panel representing the human rights group Tostan. She explains to Laura Jarrell what organizations like Tostan are doing to counter FGC.
Female genital cutting occurs in many communities around the world. It is a deeply entrenched cultural practice in hundreds of communities, thousands of communities, really, in West Africa, also throughout the Middle East, in Indonesia, other areas of Asia, we're now realizing in India as well. And an estimated 200 million women and girls are affected. At the very foundation, we're aware that female genital cutting is a gender-based violence against a woman or girl who may not have a choice to make this decision in her own life. And so we begin there. Gender-based violence is prevalent in many communities in many different forms. The tradition of female genital cutting dates back often many centuries. It's associated with a number of risks, including hemorrhage and infection and difficulties during childbirth. But first and foremost, it's a transgression against a woman's right to have control over her own body.
How is it that you suggest, you know, going about changing this? What are the practices put into place?
Tostan's strategy of organized diffusion is, we talk about a social norm as a practice that is sanctioned by the community, either negatively or positively. In the case of female genital cutting, you will be negatively sanctioned if you don't practice in the communities where practice occurs. So you need to be able to reach out to the extended social networks, and this informed Tostan's approach, our programmatic approach with our three-year holistic program. Every community that comes together to determine their future and their well-being also engages in organized diffusion in many different mechanisms. For one, each participant adopts a learner who they teach the entire program to. Each village goes to other villages and also shares their new information and skills and knowledge with those villages. We also have a religious leader sensitization program where religious leaders who have been brought into a human rights approach will go to other religious leaders and inform them. And that builds the critical mass throughout the region where the practice takes place.
A young girl has been talking about her fear of dying during a recent outbreak of fighting in South Sudan. More than 270 people died in the capital, Juba, during 6 days of clashes between rival forces loyal to the president and vice president. Joanna John Edward, interviewed by the UN radio station in the country, Radio Miraya, made an impassioned plea to her leaders to stop the war. She was speaking to Sani Martin, who began by asking her how she felt when the fighting started.
Fear. Nothing came in my mom, but I just felt afraid. So my mom called me and said I should come and to seek protection the church of 7 days.
Mm-hmm.
So while we were coming on the way with our neighbors, some soldiers stopped us. The first thing that came in my mind, I thought they were trying to protect us to get to the church. But it was terrible that they were stealing us.
How did they manage to go to 7 days?
They just stopped us. They were beating us with the guns. They told us to sit down. And the only money we had to get food we can buy, we did. They took it from us. And they took from the phone that we can use to communicate with my mom and know where she is. They took it. But the good thing is they let us go.
After reaching 7 days, did you manage to speak to your mom?
Yeah, I got her. I took a phone and I called her, then we were together. From there, we were just staying there, but the good thing, we had food. We stayed, but the first day was fine. The second day, it was terrible. The gunshots were just shot at us, and we were lying down. I was crying. I thought, this is my last day.
So you are going to die?
Yeah.
Okay. How has it affected you as a young lady?
I can't go to school. I can't live as a free child. This gunshot, I have to stay at home. I can't do anything that can help me to see what's coming next, to see my future. Because this fighting really affects us as children. That's why I have a message I want to pass.
What is your message to the leaders of this country? So since you can't go to school, your life is now affected,
yeah.
You can't do anything.
My message is to our two leaders. We, the children of South Sudan, are hereby asking, crying our leaders to stop this war going on. We are the most affected because it affects our studies and affects our freedom to live as children. We, the children of South Sudan, we don't want to regret having them as leaders, but we want to be proud of having them as our leaders. We want to write a history that will make the next generation proud of our leaders. I saw death coming my way, and I cried. I wept because I thought my age was going to be cut at that moment. I dreamt of doing many things to this nation when I grow up. But now if I see it this way, I just surrender because I can't go to school and I can't do anything. This war is really affecting us. Mostly the children, because we see this as if we don't have any future. So that's the message that I need to pass. Please and please stop the war.
You've been listening to UN Gender Focus from the United Nations in New York. You can follow more of our programs at radio.un.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Jocelyn Sambira.